You are listening to The Scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and we are here talking with local artist Mitchell White. Thank you so much for being here, Mitch. We are so excited to have you.
Hey, Laura. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So let's go way back in time. So far back in time, maybe 30 years or so.
Not so far back.
Let's go back. How did this all start for you as an artist? What was the very first moment where you thought, this feels right for me?
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to have to go a little farther back than 30 years, unfortunately. Thank you for being nice. I appreciate it. I wish that it was just 30 years. So we're going to have to go back, probably 40 and maybe even a little bit more. So I guess my parents saw something that they recognized that I had an interest in this and painting and drawing. And fortunately, I had parents who fostered that and were willing to help me pursue those things kind of early. And so I kind of got what I could get in school, had lessons in high school. It sort of started digging a little bit deeper. And then by the time I got to college, I had that discussion with my parents about, what are you going to do? What are you going to pursue? My dad, he was a farmer. So the art thing was tough for him to wrap his head around, mm-hmm. which is understandable. Mm-hmm. Growing up in Livingston, Tennessee, there are not a lot of people who make their living in the arts. So we had a discussion. I went to Tennessee Tech and started
your farming career.
Exactly. Right. That's what he would have loved. I started in business and very quickly saw that that wasn't going to work. And luckily there was a great art department at Tennessee Tech, found my home there and went from there, ended up going into art education. And I'm about to enter year 30 at Cookeville High School.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Was there a certain professor at Tech that saw the talent in you? Is there somebody that stuck out that maybe changed your course of your art career?
Yeah, I think so. There were two. There was Sally Crane Jaker and Chris Coswara, both who I greatly admired and respected. Both of them, I think they did see something in me, and they gave me a lot of opportunities. I took advantage of those opportunities. I did not let anything pass me by. I was there all the time, all day, every day. If they let me into a studio and have extra time to work, I did it. And I really credit those two professors with a lot of my development as an artist and an art teacher. They were just exceptionally strong role models for me.
That's wonderful. Let's go back for a minute. You said that your parents saw something in you and they fostered that. What did you start out as in what medium? Were you painting right away?
The first thing I remember is I did the thing that I think a lot of kids do. I drew on my walls. Oh, yes. I remember the day that I drew on my walls. Oh, yes. I remember the reaction that my mother had. And I've told her this story. And I was three, and she does the thing. She says, how can you remember that? But it's such a strong memory for me. And then it was a thing of always kind of having art materials and supplies that I would get for birthdays or Christmas or anything like that. And it was more drawing initially. Then it went into painting as I developed and as I grew older. By the time I was in high school, it was painting. It was all painting. Drawing, I will tell you that drawing is difficult for me. I prefer painting. The two, you do kind of need to know when to be able to do the other, but I love paint. I love everything about paint. I love the way paint smells, and I'm an oil painter. I love all the processes and the solvent and the turpentine and the brushes and just the whole thing. I love everything about it. So it was always more paint than anything.
What subjects were you drawn to working around when you were younger? How has that changed as you've gotten older?
The farm stuff, because I grew up on a farm. Yeah. So my dad, he farmed a fairly decent size farm, and we had cattle, we had horses. I was constantly out drawing one of those two things, more often horses than the cattle, because I rode growing up and that kind of thing. And so they were there, they were available. I was taking care of them. So, if I had just ridden for a while and I just put the horses back up, I would draw them. I would sit down and draw for a little while as well. That was it early on. And I've kind of oddly circled back to horses lately. Mm. I didn't paint them for a very long period of time. And if anyone remembers Chris Coswara, she painted horses. And so that was another connection that she and I had. So I've kind of, at my last show that I had in November, I did one horse painting, and it proved to be exceptionally popular. So I'm kind of thinking that I might revisit that in a different iteration in a different way.
Hmm. Let's talk more about that when we come back. You are listening to The Scene with Mitchell White. We are back on The Scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and we're here talking with Mitch White, local artist, celebrated educator, all the wonderful things. I want to talk about you, the teacher. You have been at Cookeville High School for 30 years?
30 years.
That's insane. How did you do that when you're only 35? How did you start your career at 5 years old?
Really young, you know, child prodigy, obviously.
Do you remember the moment you were offered the job? What was the first day like as a teacher, especially as an art teacher, in the art wing of the school, in a town where art was not always a huge focus 30 years ago? Talk to me about that moment.
That's a great question. So I do remember my first day. I remember being offered the job. So I had done some practicum work at Cookeville High School with a gentleman named Greg Gill, which I'm sure a lot of people know. And so the principal at Cookeville High School had contacted me because there was an opening. And actually the first year I was split between Cookeville High School and the junior high, because the two were separate at that point.
The scary, dirty junior high that used to be?
Yes. Oh. And the high school was where Avery Trace is now located. So I taught my first year at the old school where the pods were, mm-hmm. and had the experience of all of that, which was great. Then the second year we moved to where we are now at Cookeville High School. Like a lot of teachers, I was scared to death. I thought I knew what I needed to know, and then I learned to teach while I was teaching. I mean, that's what happens. And I went home every night and worked my tail off for the first 3 years and built a portfolio of lessons and kind of retooled the way I did everything, and then was able to kind of settle in, and you start getting to know students and forming relationships. This is what you have to do when you're a teacher. Mm-hmm. You have to get to know who's in your classroom. And that's how it goes. And I love teaching. I still love teaching. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. I'm in my mid-50s now, and those kids keep me on my toes. They keep you kind of abreast of what's going on in the world. And
Do you know all the fun words? Do you say things like Riz?
I know those words.
Do you?
I don't. Oh. Sometimes I say them at school to be sarcastic and try to be funny, and they just look at me like, "Oh, you're really old. Oh. So stop.
You're so mid."
Right. Exactly. Yes. Absolutely. So don't bring them out too often, but I do know, so I can keep up in conversation if I'm somewhere else and I hear them. But I think teaching is a wonderful profession. It's a great career. We're at a time in education where it's kind of tough for people to think about going into it, but, it's brought me a lot of joy and a lot of happiness. I've gotten to know so many people. I have been across the world and bumped into students. And that's a great feeling. You're walking down the street in London, England, and you hear,
as you do,
Mr. White, or you're sitting in a taxi cab in Rome, Italy, and someone walks in front of the cab and it's one of your former students. Mm. And that's an awesome feeling.
Yeah.
It really is. And to see them, and also when they smile, when they see you,
that's an even better feeling. They don't turn and run the other way.
They don't run the other way. When you jump out of the cab and yell their name, they actually turn around and come back to talk to you.
Yeah.
So that's a good feeling. I've remained in touch with a lot of my former students, and it's just, it's a very fulfilling and rewarding thing on a lot of levels.
I remember in high school, I would see a lot of people students that were maybe had trouble in other classes or were troubled just at home or in general would excel on that wing of the school, being able to pour themselves into art. Can you talk about your experience in that?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of students do find their home in the fine arts department at Cookeville High School, because in the arts, you're often dealing with students who are introverts, mm-hmm. In the visual arts, not necessarily dramatic arts. But, we're all lumped together back there. The performing arts, the choral department is there, the drama classes are there, and the visual arts. So we're all together. And we do complement each other in a very particular sort of way. So I think, the students who are extroverts who need to find their outlet have it. The students who are introverts end up sometimes with us in the visual arts. And they have a place where they can be quiet, mm-hmm. It is quiet, and they can sort of think about things like colors and shapes and lines and ways to put things together and express themselves in that way. And it, yeah, it's important that everyone at Cookeville High School finds a place, and where I think we are a part of that in the fine arts, a very important part of that.
If you were speaking to parents that maybe recognize an artistic talent in their child or in their high schooler, what's your advice?
You know, early on, I think that the best thing you can do is just let a kid be a kid with art materials. If you see something that you think that they're interested in, that they might have a proclivity to, that leans towards that, get them some stuff, you know, for lack of a better way to say it. Buy some colored pencils, some crayons, things that are easy for them to manipulate and manage, and just let them have fun. I do think you can kind of kill it if you start it too early. And, you know, there have been some studies and things along those lines. And just let a kid be a kid, practice, have fun, all of that on their own explorations and their own learning ways. When you get to high school, you know, it's interesting. We do get a lot of students in the visual arts classes who come to us that have not had anything else, that have not had any training, and they're just great. They've, you know, done what I just said. They've just had parents who've kind of given them some stuff, and they've sat down and they've done their own, made their own things happen. And that's fantastic. That I think is a good way to approach it.
Yeah.
And let it develop naturally. If you try to force things, as we all know with anything in life, sometimes it goes the other direction.
Very true. Very true. All right. We'll be back on The Scene with Mitch White in just a few moments. You are listening to The Scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and we are here talking with local artist and arts educator Mitch White. Thank you again for being on the show. It's been really fun learning how you started your career as an artist and your career as a teacher. Let's go back to you as the artist. How can people find your work? What do you have going on right now? How are you involved in the arts community today?
So people can find my work by going online to mitchellwhite.com. I was lucky to have purchased that domain 25 years ago or more. So I have that, and that's where people can easily connect with me. Also Instagram, and I do post a lot of things sort of as I do them on Instagram. The website is more finished work and those kinds of things, obviously. Currently, I just finished, so I had a show last November that was in Livingston at the Bishop Studio. And then since then, I've been working on some commissioned work, doing that right now. I'm currently trying to wrap up a painting, and then I have two more commissions that I've got to finish, then on to the show that I will have next year. I generally try to produce a show every 2 years. Usually thematic in approach. The last one was all about winter in the Upper Cumberland. It was called Celebration in Solitude. The impetus was that when I think about winter in the Upper Cumberland, I think about, you know, rushing into it and all of the celebration associated with the holidays. And then January and February, it's just, there's nothing. Yes. So my paintings were very much about that. They were about the hubbub associated with the holidays and then just the quiet solitude of the landscapes in the winter when there's snow, when things are just sort of, you know, fallow and barren, and there's a beauty in that. So this next one, I have an idea. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I want to keep people in suspense so they'll come check it out. But always Upper Cumberland focused. I think that's important for me. So
when you say you're finishing a painting, how do you start a painting? What does that look like?
Well, so these commissions, people, you know, people come to you with ideas, and it's a process of sitting down with these people, working through their idea, trying to figure out exactly what they have in their mind, and then working what I do into that. So this one is, it's a landscape that someone has commissioned me to do of a family farm. You know, you work through lighting variations, best time of day. There are visits to the location, color studies, all of that. So at this point, the painting is almost finished. It's about getting away from it, spending some time not looking at it, going back to it, and kind of looking at it with fresh eyes, not staring at it for hours at a time, and seeing what needs to be done to make sure that it is done. The hardest thing for me is knowing when a painting is finished.
I was just going to ask, how do you know when it's done?
Yeah, it's one of those kind of intangibles that you just know. No. It's like that's why it's an art, right? As with anybody in the arts knows, it's hard to describe. It's something that is individual to every person that is a painter. So I look at it, and sometimes know instantly, and sometimes I struggle. So, tricky thing.
Yeah. Are you commissioned to do portraits? Does that happen, and does that make you nervous?
It does happen. I do a portrait about every year to year and a half. I can do portraits. They're not my favorite, but I can do them. And I do think I wouldn't tell you that I'm the best portrait painter in the world.
But it looks like the person when
you're
done.
It looks like the person. I'm generally happy with them. I think I overwork my portraits. I think I'm too wrapped up in everything kind of being perfect. Mm-hmm. I wish that my portraits were a little more like my landscapes and, because my landscapes are generally looser and that kind of thing. But I'm getting some confidence with portraits, and I need to do more work with portraits. I need to get out there and take some classes with some great portrait painters. So we'll see.
Is there any art medium that you have never worked in that you would like to?
No.
Nothing. There's not one thing.
And here's the reason that I say that. That sounds a little, I am a 2D person. I am painting and drawing. I have experimented, in college as an art instructor, as an art teacher. I had to take ceramics, I had to take clay. I took a fibers class, woodworking. So I did a lot of different things. The only thing I did not do at the Appalachian Center for Craft was glass. Mm. I think glass is fascinating. I love to watch people do it. That's nothing that I want to get in and do. Metals have never really interested me. So it's anything, watercolor, acrylic paint, oil paint, pencils, charcoal, chalk, you name it. If it is something that you can make a mark on a wall, a canvas, a piece of paper, I'm in. I'm all in.
It's that little kid in you that was drawing on the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
Mitch and the purple crayon.
That's right. There we go. There we go.
Tell us one more time before we go. How can people find your work, find out more about you, and follow your work?
So MitchellWhite.com is the best, quickest, easiest way. Also on Instagram. And that is Mitch White Art. So that's the easiest way.
Great. Thank you so much for being on the scene today.
Thank you.
We appreciate having you.
Happy to be here. Thanks so much, Laura.